government thinks too many financial advisors are just trying to sell you something, plus developments in the Panama Papers scandal. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We started the week with the revelations of the Panama Papers, leaked documents from a law firm in Panama detailing secret financial accounts of the global elite. Questions about hiding money offshore are now being directed at Russian President Putin, people with ties to China's leadership. The Prime Minister of Iceland has resigned, and these Panama Papers are putting Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron in an awkward spot. He's a conservative who had been going after corporations that avoid taxes. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore has been following the evolution of the British leader's position in the last week.
Well, here's the British Prime Minister speaking on Tuesday.
I have no shares, no offshore trusts, no offshore funds, nothing like that.
Overnight, we've learned that although, in theory, he's done nothing wrong, he did not tell us the full situation. It's turned out he did benefit from offshore funds abroad in a fund set up by his father, Ian, his late father. £30,000, about $42,000 US, was in that fund. That fund never paid British tax for something like 30 years. Until it moved to Ireland. Is the British Prime Minister now speaking overnight?
Samantha and I had a joint account, and we owned 5,000 units in Blairmore Investment Trust, which we sold in January 2010.
That's where the money was held, a trust fund set up by his father in Panama. We finally know that. It's taken several days to find out, though, David.
Tell me about the politics here, Russell. What has the Prime Minister said about tax reform in the UK in the past?
Do remember, David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, has repeatedly attacked both people who've been accused of being involved in tax avoidance or companies. There have been a lot of questions, for example, about why these multinationals, many of them American companies, have been setting up their headquarters in Ireland or Luxembourg, doing their best to avoid tax. And David Cameron has been criticising them. Now we know he himself was involved in some sort of offshore trust where he benefited from that. Now, of course, we know he cashed in those investments in 2010, but why not tell us before now? And grave questions are being asked about just how candid this Prime Minister's being, David.
All right, the BBC's Russell Padmore in London. Thank you.
David, thanks a lot.
Another major story we've been following this week, the U.S. Department of Labor's new rules to encourage financial advisors, especially stockbrokers working on commission, to put the client's interest first when it comes to retirement money. The U.S. Secretary of Labor, Thomas Perez, came into Marketplace's L.A. studio to take some questions. Secretary Perez, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you, David.
We have to see if you and I can get through this interview without using that dreary-sounding word, fiduciary. But remind us briefly what the problem is that you're trying to solve.
We're trying to make sure that financial advisors act like lawyers and doctors. When you go to a lawyer or a doctor, they have an obligation to put your best interests first. Financial advisors don't. And what we did the other day, quite simply, was take the marketing materials of so many of the companies that say we put our client first, and we said, it's a great slogan, it's now the law.
The system seems, I don't know, a little mushy in parts. A broker can recommend his or her firm's financial products if the broker is reasonably sure it's a better deal than the competitors. But you wonder how that's actually going to go in real life.
Well, people talk a lot about the issue of access to advice. Why don't more people get advice? And part of the reason that we've learned from the work that we have done is that a lot of people don't trust the advisors. They have reason not to trust them because the system was structurally flawed. And we are correcting that misalignment. And I am confident that what we have done in this rule is going to enhance trust. And therefore, more people, when they are empowered, will then seek access.
We've heard on this program that some companies might get out of the brokerage business, no longer do work on commission, and switch over to the annual fee arrangements. You worried about consumers not having the choice that they need?
There are a number of people out there already in the business of giving advice who use the fiduciary model. In 2007, the certified financial planners changed their model. These are people who provide advice, they decided that they were going to adopt the fiduciary model. The critics predicted, oh my God, there'd be so many less certified financial planners because they're in using this higher standard. It's gone up like 35%. And then secondly, one of the most frequent sets of feedback I've heard in the comment process, David, is from people who are already working under the fiduciary model. But let me rephrase that, because you told me I couldn't use the word fiduciary. People who are already putting their clients' best interests first. And what they tell me is this: hey, Tom, these companies who are threatening to pull out, can you do me a favor? Can you give them my email and my phone number? Because I'm doing good and I'm doing well. And it is a completely false choice to suggest that the only way that a financial advisor can make a living is on the backs of their consumers. That is the quintessential false choice. Doing well and doing good are not only compatible, but when you do good, you in fact do even better.
Tom Perez, U.S. Secretary of Labor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I said fiduciary once. I think he used it four times. And from the business papers today, the Financial Times calculates that the Obama administration has blocked more mergers and acquisitions than the George W. Bush and Clinton presidencies combined, $370 billion worth. The analysis suggests some corporations are feeling picked on and comes just days after new Treasury Department rules thwarted Pfizer's planned merger with Allergan that had been partly a maneuver to lower Pfizer's U.S. taxes. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.